Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and God bless you. Thank you for listening to God's Still Healed. This is Elder Kathy Ann Kendall, and we thank God for each one of you that are listening on tonight. It is a privilege it is to be able to come with you into the presence of God and to hear what he has to say to us from his word. It's just absolutely remarkable to me every time that God so allows us and he pours into us his word that we will be able to produce fruit that's going to last. Won't you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for every person that's listening on tonight. Father, I pray that they would receive exactly what you have for them, that it would go in to good ground, that it would produce a crop, that would have an harvest that we would be able to live thereby, that it would be perpetual and that it will return in every time that there is need. Father, thank you for all of your promises, I yea and amen. Thank you that your word is quick and sharp and powerful. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much, that your patience and your grace is sufficient. Thank you for those that you've given us, that you've given rule over us, Father, and we honor them. We thank you for the apostle, Senator Thomas. We thank you, God, for the pastors that you've put in our life. We thank you for those that pray and sow seed into God's Still Healed. Father, I pray that you would multiply their giving, that you would give it back to them according to your word, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. That there be no lack, God, that as they care for the one that you've told them to care for, glory to God, that you will bless them according to your riches in heaven. You have no shortage on anything. If anyone has a physical ailment in their body tonight, Father, I command healing to begin even now as we speak. I stand with your word and I rebuke sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. I command pain to leave, cancer to dry up, all manner of disease. You are not welcome in any body, in any home, in the name of Jesus. I loose the peace of God from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, that they'll be unmovable, that they'll stand on your word, knowing that it accomplishes that you sent it out to do for your glory. Thank you and amen. Well, it's an awesome time to be in the body. I mean, it's an awesome time. Tonight we're going to ask you to excuse any extra noises that you may hear that are going in and out of doors closing. But God has a word, and we're going to share that word with you. We're going to talk about disloyalty and the devastating effects of the spirit of Absalom. Disloyalty is the number one cause of splits and division in the body of Christ today, in my opinion. Disloyalty does not begin overnight. It's a process. Spirit is sometimes called the spirit of Absalom, but we're going to call it a disloyal spirit because it manifests itself in the Old Testament through King David's son. But in the New Testament, Absalom is a spirit. People with this spirit are disloyal. People with the potential to destroy homes, marriages, relationships, teams, businesses, and churches. It often, if we look at Galatians 5, we can almost quote it by heart, the fruit of the Spirit and the work of the flesh. And we've got a pretty good hold on the no sex before, outside of marriage. We've got that concept pretty well down. But when we seemingly to fail that is to grasp the need and the significance of loyalty in the body of Christ. there's a work of the flesh that's been very masterful, if you'd allow me that liberty of that word, in its operation due to the lack of true loyalty in the body of Christ. Galatians uses the term sedation. Sedation is a work of the flesh that operates with the spirit of disloyalty. The word sedation means insurrection. It's against lawful authority. In other words, this spirit undermines authority with no intent, with the intent to overthrow it. The word undermine means to subvert or to weaken, to incent, to secretly to weaken or to ruin by degree. When we talk about this, we're talking about insidious means of waiting, a chance to entrap. It's treacherous. Did you hear me say treacherous? Having a gradual and a cumulative effect, it's subtle. Developing so gradually as to be well established before becoming apparent. If we look at the word of God as an example, Absalom worked his scheme against his own father for 40 years. And it almost cost David his life and his throne. Almost cost him his life and his throne. Disloyalty in every kingdom that's divided against itself is brought to desolation, no matter if it's a city, a house, a business, anything. Matthew 12 and 25 shares that with us. I'm expanding it so it's not verbatim. The scripture says every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or home divided against itself shall not stand. I'm expanding that to say anything that's supposed to be collective to stand together, that does not, that becomes divided within itself, it's not going to stand. Every church, every marriage, every business, every team divided against itself is going to be brought to desolation unless it's fortified to withstand this spirit of disloyalty. Although Absalom lived in his father's house and was David's son, some theologians will tell you it was his favorite son, Absalom had his own agenda. The characteristics of this disloyal spirit of Absalom must be recognized by leadership in order to destroy its root and avoid its catastrophic results. This spirit of disloyalty and betrayal follows an identifiable pattern, a pattern that we can identify, which will help in its detection. The first thing is that the spirit of Absalom, this disloyal spirit, has unresolved offenses. In 2 Samuel, in the 13th verse, it shows us that Absalom was angry and offended because David never dealt with Amon for raping Tamar. Hatred and unresolved offenses are the first foundations of a disloyal and a betrayal spirit. Hatred always begins with an offense, and it's an offense not properly dealt with. It festers into roots of bitterness. The offense and hatred in Absalom toward his father David and his brother Amon were there so long before he actually spearheaded a revolt against his father's kingdom. 40 years is a long time. It is. The second characteristic that we're going to look at is that they detest and run from authority. In 2 Samuel 13 and 38 says, so Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. Those with a disloyal spirit tend to possess the Lone Ranger mentality. After killing his brother, Absalom fled to Geshur, stayed there for 3 years, and was running from the responsibility of what he had done. He ran from authority because where there's authority, there's always accountability and responsibility. Never welcome someone into your team if they're fleeing responsibility. Did you hear that, Pastor? Don't welcome someone in your team if they are fleeing responsibility, whether it's the responsibility of being a mother, the responsibility of being a father, the responsibility of being a son or a daughter. If they're fleeing the responsibility of one ministry, believe me, eventually they're going to flee the responsibility of yours. If they don't have a track record of completion, you ought to ask one more time. The third thing that we're going to look at are those with this spirit are usually spiritually attractive. Now, Absalom was praised as the most handsome man in all of Israel. He was flawless from head to foot. He cut his hair only once a year, and then only because it was so heavy. When he weighed it out, it came to 5 pounds. That's a lot of hair. In the natural, Absalom had it going on, but unfortunately, the spirit of Absalom attaches itself to people who are spiritually appealing with attractive gifts. Your gift gives you this ability and thereby makes you a target for the spirit. Remember, we're talking about the spirit and not a person. The spirit of disloyalty seeks out those who are up front, those who get the most exposure because of their gifts and level of influence. The gifted soloist, the prophet, the preacher, the teacher, those are the kind of qualities, the musician, and people that this spirit looks for. In the end, Absalom was hung by his own beauty and anointing, and his end was a disgrace. What you're anointed with has the potential to destroy you when it's abused and mismanaged. It's called being destroyed by the anointing. I happen to disagree with that in particular statement. I've heard people say that, but I believe it's disobedience, you all, is the bottom line. And the fourth characteristic of this spirit of disloyalty is that they are energized by the wrong motivation. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. He won over the hearts of the people, but he was out of order. He had no authority to do what he was doing in 2 Samuel. He was campaigning for himself. He was saying what he would do if he was elected. And the election wasn't even in place. This spirit is drawn to attractive and energetic people. Many times they start off right, but if they allow a disloyal spirit, if they harbor those offenses, do what they're supposed to do with them, this spirit will take hold of them. They eventually seek a position near the gate, near the place of authority, to draw a following for themselves from their father's house. Watch out for ungodly ambition because it always rests on somebody who looks good. The next thing we're going to look at is winning people by deception. In 2 Samuel 15, 5 and 6, it reads, "And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him homage, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment." So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. His disloyalty cost 20,000 men. The word of God says 20,000 choice men of Israel. He deceived some that thought they were undeceivable. A disloyal spirit draws people by deception. Those who are disloyal seek to subtly win the hearts of people away from the leader. It operates mostly at eldership, deacon, home group, and worship levels. The higher the spirit can go, the more damage it can produce. The spirit preys on people who need recognition. And when they don't get it, they'll take it. Even if they have to take it away, it's never a direct rebellion. Remember that. It's never a direct rebellion. Let's say that again. It's never a direct rebellion. Remember the spirit of Jezebel rejects authority openly, but Absalom's spirit undermines it from within. It's always disguised as something that sounds nice. But the devil is a lie. The other character of this spirit is competition. Absalom contended with his father for the kingdom, but God never put two heads. We are to complete one another, not compete with each other. We are to complete one another, not compete with each other. The home group leader and the worship leader and so forth are not there to guide the church. They serve by invitation only. This means they serve because they're invited to do so by the set men and women of God. Don't use position given to you as a platform for your unfulfilled ambition and display of emotion. This other characteristic is it criticizes leadership's decisions and undermines those that are above them and those that are on an equal playing field with them. The 2 Samuel 15:3 reads, "And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed for the king to hear thee. Absalom contaminates his followers and feeds on fault finding and a critical spirit. It feels that it's an expert on everything. What's wrong with everything and everybody else? If this spirit stays in the church long enough, it will boldly lead a conspiracy." Yeah. It can be so subtle, though. This spirit of disloyalty is so subtle. Absalom used legitimate and innocent complaints to steal the hearts of the people. His motive was not to resolve offenses. His motive was to create followers. This spirit exploits the innocent in order to plot against its own family. It may take years for the spirit of Absalom to surface because it's shrewd and well-gifted in deceit. Remember, an Absalom spirit undermines from within, and the spirit of Jezebel rebels openly. And Absalom sent for David's counselor from his city. And this conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. He drew more and more and more people with him. David's counselor joined this conspiracy. Can you believe that? He turned one who was with David against him. Sometimes after the spirit of disloyalty leads a small band out of the church. But know this, everything that's led by Absalom is cursed. Cursed. This spirit is not satisfied until devastation and desolation takes place. Really? Some will say, you know, why did David's counselor turn on him? Because of the first thing that we talked about, unresolved odds, unresolved offenses. David's counselor was the grandfather of Bathsheba. While God had forgiven David for his sin against Uriah and Bathsheba, David's counselor did not. He buried his resentment, which ultimately turned to bitterness, and he was ready to strike David at his weakest moment. His weakest moment. Psalms 41:9 says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." That's what David says about his counselor. And lastly, the spirit of disloyalty, its underlying intention was to provide David with some inside intelligence, some inside information. Absalom will pose himself as if he has information that needs to be shared that you can't get from anyone but him. It's contaminated. It'll destroy. It'll divide. Absalom, smile in your face and go against what you told him in secret, openly. Absalom will cause God to appoint death and destruction to him. Always, the end result of this disloyal spirit is always death. Both Absalom and David's counsel were destroyed. The gifting, the ability, the anointing upon their lives that was never harnessed or disciplined with character caused their downfall. The spirit of disloyalty produces a great deal of casualty. It'll destroy relationships, split people in churches, teams, and businesses. It'll destroy marriages and homes. It'll break up families. But the insurrection and betrayal that the spirit of Absalom has leads is cursed from its inception. This disloyal spirit always met the loyal servants of David. They always prevailed over David's conspirator. In the end, it'll be death and destruction to this spirit. Don't house it. Don't play with it. Because that death and destruction will be of you. It's important to see what we say and say what we see. If you join in with this spirit of betrayal, you join in and it's partaking of death and destruction. This spirit will not reproduce. It only contaminates. It can't give life. He only destroys it. Listening on tonight, it is my prayer that the word that God has given us to share tonight will shed light on dark places. Things that you keep looking at, wondering if it's really this. Won't you join us in prayer? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it fell on good ground. Thank you for the fruit that it will produce. Thank you for the deliverance that's taking place even now. That as we expose the characteristics of disloyalty, God, that deliverance is taking place now. Every seed of offense, every seed of bitterness and hatred, we pluck it up in the name of Jesus. We lose forgiveness. We come against spirits of self-righteousness and entitlement. We come against spirits of victimization in the name of Jesus. And we lose that we're more than a conqueror. That we are more than victorious. Thank you, Lord. That 1,000 have fallen outside and 10,000 at our right. But none shall come nigh us. That, Father, you're greater than anything that we could stand against, including this spirit of disloyalty. You've given us your word of what to do with offenses. Any that we find within ourselves, Father, that are unresolved. Today we decide to forgive and let go. Today we decide that vengeance is yours according to your word. Father, thank you that you still heal. In your precious Son Jesus' name, it is so. Amen. This is Elder Kathy Ann Kendall, and we're broadcasting tonight from Overland Park, Kansas. We want to thank each and every one of you for listening. We don't take it for granted. The people of God, I thank God for this time to share with you. You can email us at godstillheals@gmail.com. You can write us at 702 Oaks Plantation Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32211. That address again is 702 Oaks Plantation Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32211. Thank you and God bless you. And remember, God still heals. Good night.